Hello, welcome to Art Pod. Thank you for listening. I'm your host, Kate Wells, and it has been a while since we did an Art Pod. I'm so sorry for the long hiatus. I've really missed doing this. I'm so glad that it is spring now so we can launch into a new season of arts, music, movies, culture, and more regular Art Pod. What I'm going to try and do is that every Monday, Tuesday, we put a new Art Pod up online. You can find it on iTunes. And basically, it'll give you kind of a catch-up on what Michigan radio reporters and producers have been featuring on the web, on air. So we have got a lot to talk about today. To start it all off, we are going to go to Spain Elementary. It's a performing arts school in Detroit, and it's where the world-renowned cellist Yo-Yo Ma, maybe you've heard of him, made a visit there recently. In the auditorium, the eighth graders have been waiting patiently for this concert to get going.
What did they tell you guys was going to happen today?
Well, they told us, well, that we was going to have a performance, and it's going to be a huge performance. Yo-Yo Ma is coming up here. Yeah.
Lindell is 13. He's got one of those young, earnest faces. And at this point, he and the school have been in overdrive preparing for Yo-Yo Ma. The place is spotless. The dance team and choir and band have all been practicing like mad. A group of kids has been designated as official guides for all the TV cameras and reporters. Some of the kids got so dressed up, one guy is even wearing a tiny tux. Lindell and fellow 8th grader Martinez even have Yo-Yo Ma's biography memorized.
Ever since he was born, October 3rd, 1958, Chinese, so
age 59.
Okay, actually, Google says it's October 7th, 1955, but points for trying.
So, why did they tell you he was coming here?
Because this is the best choice they had.
This is the best school they had.
Performance.
Spain elementary and middle school kids are really, really into the performing arts, at least if the kids that I talk to are any indication. Lindell plays tuba, Martinez plays drums. Even very shy fourth graders like Brooklyn know their favorite instruments.
Violin.
While the eighth graders waited, Yo-Yo Ma spent his morning with the fourth graders. They created a dancing human model of the solar system. That's what the kids are studying this time of year. Which meant the kids had to break some tough news to Ma. Pluto is no longer a planet.
I don't understand why. Because they said it was too small.
Yeah. No.
It's too far away.
Yeah, too far away.
Ma and former New York City ballet dancer Damien Wetzel have been doing classroom stops like this as part of this push to get kids involved with the arts.
Collaboration, trust, imagination, so we can talk together and work together and do what actually Detroit is doing with itself, with all the committed citizens and people that are so passionate about the city.
When the school-wide performance finally does get going, Yo-Yo Ma plays behind elementary school students who read from a poem they've written called I Am Unique.
What makes me unique? My talent. I have skills like no one else.
Did you catch that? She said, I have skills like no one else. Afterwards, when everything is wrapping up, I asked the 8th grade guys, why do you think Yo-Yo Ma comes and does this kind of stuff in schools? Because, Lindell says, he's challenging us. He's showing us that playing music is even better than watching TV.
Watching TV.
It's better than just sitting in the house. You get to do more stuff outside and show your talent. Show your real, that the real you.
I'm Kate Wells, Michigan Radio News. All right, next up, we are going to sit down with an amazing Flint R&B singer, a rapper. He sat down with stateside Cynthia Canty. And if you don't start listening to his stuff on repeat after hearing this guy's music, I don't know, you're crazy. So on the website, I'm going to put up a link to where you can listen to the rest of his EP. But first, let's take a listen as he and Cindy Canty talk.
This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Do not make the mistake of thinking that fresh new music, rap, electronic, and a whole lot more, comes only out of Detroit. Listen to what's coming out of Flint.
Give me any test, I can make the grade. Check the interior, I'm better made. Used to be a boy, I'd rather be a mage. Possession is a ritual, the ravens at the cage.
Tunde Olan Iren is a Flint artist, singer, songwriter, rapper, electropop, rock. Tunde is attracting lots of attention, including a glowing review in the New York Times for his new EP, Young Archetype. And it is a pleasure to welcome Tunde to the studio here. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here.
You know, the New York Times made a really good point in its very glowing review about your EP. And it points out that you can rap in many distinct voices, but you have, and I agree, a beautiful R&B tenor and falsetto. And MTV called you a pop futurist. How did that strike you when you read that?
It's one of those things where you never expect to see your name on something that you look at all the time, you know, just being associated with MTV and having them recognize you in that way. It was a huge honor, to sound cliche. It was really a big honor to hear that.
What do you think a pop futurist is?
I think it's someone who takes elements that currently exist in your life, but you're also looking at how music and society can be different. And so you're almost making your music hoping for a different future that it would exist in. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, because you're trying to create something that you see in this vision.
Yeah, and as someone who's kind of been an activist in my community around a lot of different issues, I feel like the creative arts are always a way to envision something that maybe a lot of other people couldn't, and to maybe even help spark people's imagination. So I found music and performance to be a really great, almost like organizing tool for people.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about how you've been doing that in Flint, but I'm interested in the fact that you have really lived all over the world. You were born in Flint?
Yeah, I was born in Flint.
But you've lived in Nigeria, you've lived in Germany, in England, mm-hmm. and you're back in Flint. And why is that?
You know, I came back and went to high school in Flint, and I found the community that I was in to be so nurturing that I think it was responsible for a lot of my current work as an artist. Flint has such an amazingly supportive art community, and at one point I did showcases in Flint, and I would bring artists from Detroit and other cities, and they would be amazed at how into just enjoying art, you know, people in Flint are. And Flint is a small enough community that you get to know people, and you feel like wherever you are, you're kind of among friends, even if you don't specifically know that person. Flint just has a really interesting flavor to it that I don't know if a lot of people realize.
And so Flint has informed your music, but you've pulled in other influences from where you've
lived.
Yeah,
just being an outsider in a lot of situations, you know, being in Germany and being like someone touching your skin and not knowing what it's like to touch a black person's skin, you know, being in the situations where you do feel like you're on the margins a lot, I think has made me kind of more hyper aware of being in that space. And so songs like Brown Boy are kind of about that.
I'm every single thing you think of me. I'm a sinner, killer, drug dealer, refugee. So keep your jaw locked and I keep the peace. They act like they don't want all the men, they know me. I'm a brown boy, I'm a brown boy. I'm a brown boy, I'm a brown boy. I'm a brown boy, I'm a brown boy.
Do you see yourself fitting into the larger scene of when people think of rap and hip-hop artists? Do you fit into that, or what are you doing that you feel sets you apart? You're wincing.
Yeah.
You don't want to be in that
scene. I mean,
scene of that.
It's not even that. It's just, you know, when I first recorded music as a solo artist, I would send my music to people, and they would see what I look like and would automatically say, okay, well, we don't cover rap. But with rap artists and hip-hop artists, I don't even call myself a rapper, because I know MCs that are so talented, so amazingly talented, that I couldn't even imagine being in a category with them. So I respect hip hop a lot, and I feel I'm hesitant to even call myself a rapper. So for me, it is a lot of experimentation. And I think that that's the one thing that, like, it makes me stand out, but it also has been a kind of a barrier sometimes. I think the live performance has helped people get a better picture of what I'm doing, though, like locally and whenever I tour.
Four, five plays on the internet. 5, 6 plays on the internet. 7, 8 plays on the internet.
so intrigued by the internet. First of all, I would not expect to hear jaw harp as used as percussion. That was pretty interesting.
Thank you.
But the message in this song, is it awkward or weird to be an artist? And you're singing about seeking clicks online and who's following me. Do you chase your following or your fan base, or do you let it find you?
We say Facebook isn't real and we say Twitter isn't real, but people get a real sense of intimacy from online interaction, and it's valid. So I feel like even if you aren't explicitly trying to get likes, you are getting some kind of emotional connection to this online interaction. And as an artist, where so much of, especially young artists now, so much of our existence is online because we can't afford to participate in traditional commercial media, your emotions do get connected to it a lot.
The songs on Young Archetype really have a lot of pointed self-reflection. This track's called Critical.
It's critical, by the phone, I wanna run, but I won't, cause they can't guarantee that anyone can get at me. It's critical, by the phone.
How hard is it to share a really naked, critical look at yourself with the world?
It's easier in a song because you do have a little bit of guard. You know, people interpret what they want. And that song was actually about a family member dealing with cancer and then thinking about my own health and this how men don't really look at their health. Especially someone who, for me, I work in sexual health and dealing with people who are getting the results of an HIV test, for example. You know, people are very afraid of learning about their health. Mm-hmm. And that's what that song is really about. But it's easy for me to hide and say, oh, yeah, it's just about a really. So it's easier doing songwriting because you don't have to really admit everything. You can just, you know, twist some words and leave a lot unsaid. But you still get the feeling if you're getting it out of your system.
I'm speaking with Tunde Olaniran, who is a Flint artist. He's a singer, he's a songwriter, and his new EP is called Young Archetype. And you've been working very hard using your music and artistry to really raise the profile of the Flint community. And a couple of months ago, you pulled together a showcase. Mm. You referred to this with other artists called Flint, a sci-fi love story. What was that about? And you really worked to pull the audience into it, didn't you?
Yeah, it was inspired by a friend of mine, Adrian Marie Brown, who is creating an anthology called Octavia's Brood. It's inspired by the work of Octavia Butler. And it was really about, you know, people of color writing science fiction and how that's a political act, you know. And so I wanted to I think that she brings the example of if you were a woman living as a slave in the United States in the 1800s, having a child was an act of science fiction because you can't possibly imagine a future, you know, for that child but you're still doing it. So you can't even imagine a better future, but you know that something can happen. And so the act of having and raising that child is in some way speculative or science fiction. And so when we're looking at, you know, groups like the Democracy Defense League and Flint, people resisting emergency management, people just working without having a clear promise of the outcome, I think is an act of science fiction and speculative fiction. So we wanted to bring that idea into this workshop, and it was so amazing. It was this intergenerational writing workshop, and we touched on so many different things. You know, we talked about, so many of the young people talked about losing someone, and I think that we don't recognize how, as a young person in high school today, you could have a friend and then they're gone, they're dead the next day, you know, living in places like Flint. So it was really this amazing experience, and a lot of the people in the room, we'd all collectively experienced loss of some artists all happening around the same time. So we had this really incredible emotional connection and almost a way to honor that loss, but also have some joy at the same time. It was just—it was really cathartic. I'm sure people thought, "What is wrong?" Because I was like sweating and crying, and it was just this really—it was just really emotional. But it kind of reconfirmed that I'm in the right city. You know, that Flint is where I should be.
In fact, you held a writing workshop at the Flint Public Library earlier this year, and you asked people to answered the question, "What does Flint mean to you?" So, what does it mean to you?
Flint is home, first of all, but it's also the archetype. It's also the blueprint. You know, it was the city where the middle class was born, where the first community school system was created. You know, so many different things that Flint has served. And I think that looking forward, we need to see what Flint does next, because as places like Flint go, so do a lot of other places in the country. And that's kind of what made me write The Highway, because it was just this, like, this feeling of we're facing so many different issues in this city that I'm seeing paralleled in other places like Detroit. And The Highway was just a way to really sing about loss in a way, but also have this, like, defiance too. So for me, Flint is just this place that everyone should really be looking at, because we're trying things there that you're going to be seeing happening all over the country and are happening now, but we'll see more of it, you know?
All the promises getting made, I'm under the road they play. I hope it's worth the rent you pay to let it take the highway. Yeah. They googling, oogling, ruins, brewing, and suing, and losing street farms. Cars and Whole Foods and sports bars, but nobody's pants will be sagging. Don't let nobody with hats, and don't drink the water we fracking. They paid, why not be happy?
What do you think it'll take to get people around Southeast Michigan or around Michigan to even kind of think about coming to Flint for music and creativity? Because you had some quote that I think was pretty on point about Flint's so easily overlooked.
Yeah. It's really not necessarily on everyone else. I think it's on people in Flint, which I'm trying to take some responsibility by inviting people. So at that show at the library, I had friends from D.C., from Philadelphia, from Detroit that came. So I think it's really on people in that city who I know are incredible and amazing to, like, reach out. And we're doing it, but we need to even be more intentional. So a lot of the work I do, I try to really intentionally. You know, at the show, there were Detroit and Flint artists working together to create it, so that friendships kind of foster after it. So I think it's kind of on us in Flint to do it. It's not really everyone else's responsibility.
So you've got your Young Archetype EP out now. What other projects are you working on?
I'm working on a full length and, you know, doing tour dates. So the Tunde Olani Run website usually has all the shows updated if I'm doing my job right. But yeah, I'm trying to make sure those are updated. So people can always check that. I'm definitely playing, you know, all over the country and the state throughout the summer and fall, and hopefully the video for The Highway will be out soon. So yeah.
Creativity keeps going.
Yeah, for sure.
Coming out of Flint.
Yep.
Tunde Olani Run, it was a pleasure to meet you. The name of the EP is Young Archetype. Thank you so much for sharing with us today.
Thank you.
All right, finally, Michigan Radio's Kyle Norris is going to take us to a church that's actually very close to her own family. And when it closed, she realized that this was actually an experience that probably a lot of people could understand and had been through with their own families. So take it away, Michigan Radio's Kyle Norris.
Inside of this church, it feels like a reunion. Frank Grisbeck is giving out bear hugs. He leans over to one woman and says, "Sweetie, how are you?" Grisbeck is a big guy. He's originally from Lincoln Park.
Believe it or not, Grisbeck isn't really pronounced Grisbeck. It's pronounced Jebek. And in this neighborhood, most of the people were Polish. Growing up, we came to St. Henry's.
He teaches history at Kalamazoo Valley Community College. And he drove across the state today to his old hometown to say goodbye to St. Henry's.
So it's a working class neighborhood. These guys, everybody in these neighborhoods have worked for a bazillion years, probably for Great Lakes Steel or Ford's or somebody. As they're retiring, they're moving out. And I think that's kind of where the fate of St. Henry's went. You know, now it's time for another generation of folks to come in.
But they're not. Catholic churches have been closing for decades because of poor attendance and other issues. And St. Henry's is now one of them. It's consolidating with another Catholic church on the other side of town. Grisbeck says when a church closes, what you lose is a sense of history.
We're going to lose almost like an old friend, somebody that looked over the neighborhood, somebody that cared about the neighborhood and the people in it, and she's gonna be gone. St. Henry's going to be gone.
And today, the inside of the church is packed. People sitting in pews are lit up by a warm, buttery light. It's filtering in through a giant stained glass window.
That's probably 60 feet high at its peak, and it's in the shape of a house.
That's my aunt, Paige Kovac.
the colors in it are blues and purples and reds and golds and orange and greens. I mean, all the colors of the rainbow in it.
She says the window is one of the most picturesque she's ever seen in her life. She traveled all the way from Maryland to come to this last service.
I don't have my parents' home anymore. This was a staple of my childhood. Both of my parents were buried out of this church. It's a significant piece of my life.
When a church closes, or at least when this church closed, they literally took all the most important objects, like the crucifix and marriage registry and the holy oils, and walked them out the door. We were sitting in the back with my aunt on my left and my parents on my right.
They were moving the crucifix, the large crucifix from the church. It's probably, I don't know, 12 feet by 6 feet with a figure of the crucified Jesus on it.
Four men carried out the crucifix, including parish council member Jim Boomy. He said it weighed a couple hundred pounds. Boomy said carrying the crucifix out the door was so final.
I was looking at the parishioners, looking at us, I guess, carrying it out, and I don't think there was too many dry eyes in the whole church, so I was just very emotional.
After the items were walked out, the priests closed and locked the doors. Frank Grisbeck says that ending was perfect.
It was very simple. The priests just sealed the door and left the church, and that was all. So now we have a shell in the memories, a shell in the memory of St. Henry's.
Since 2006, the Archdiocese of Detroit has closed or merged 65 parishes in Metro Detroit, and more closings are expected. I'm Kyle Norris, Michigan Radio News.
All right, that is it for Art Pod for today. Again, thank you for listening. And remember, always feel free to let us know what is going on in your area, which Michigan artists you're loving, what you're listening to, what you're watching. Let us know that at michiganradio.org. And see you next time.
Support for arts and cultural reporting on Michigan Radio comes in part from a grant from the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs and the National Endowment for the Arts.